page 492, Simen Shinayin Ches Seif Dalet. We're continuing our discussion of Regel Hoeseres Bozeh. Seif Dalet, Im Yochid Dar Bapnimi. Let's say, now this is another very interesting idea. Im Yochid Dar Bapnimi, Bapnimis, V'yochid B'chitzoynis. And there's a yachid b'chitzayna that in the outer one. Let me just read the words and we'll explain. Al shnayim b'chitzayna, or there are two in the outer one. The ervu ein hayachid shebapnimis oiser alachitzayna. This part is pretty simple. She's just using this as an introduction to the next piece. We learned yesterday the two courtyards, the inner courtyard and the outer courtyard. The outer courtyard has made among themselves Neru v'chatzeros. The inner courtyard has done nothing. And the only way the people in the inner courtyard can exit to the Rishus HaRabim is by walking through the outer courtyard. So we learned yesterday, this is problematic. Because being that the inner courtyard is a domain of Isser, no one is allowed to carry in the inner courtyard, because they have not joined together in Neiru v'chatzeros, and the only way they can get out into the street is by walking through the outer courtyard. So the terms that we use is their contamination extends into the outer courtyard. So regel hoiseres b'mekoima, their feet are forbidden in their location, and that prohibition will carry, will extend into the outer courtyard and prevent them from carrying there as well. The solution is they should join together in Neiru v'chatzeros. If the inner courtyard joins together in Neiru v'chatzeros, now it's regel hamuteres b'mekoima. They're allowed to carry among themselves. Once they're allowed to carry among themselves the inner courtyard, there's not going to be a problem of trespass when they walk into the outer courtyard. Now the question is, what is the exact lundus of why it's no longer a problem? Is it because they made an Eruv? If they made an Eruv, that's like an upgrade. They made an Eruv. It's not just they're allowed. There's an Eruv, and the outer courtyard has their own Eruv. So the two Eruvim are very happy to mingle together. Or no, the Eruv is irrelevant. The Eruv is just a means of joining everyone together, that the people inside are allowed to carry from their homes to the courtyard. L'may naftimina. If there's only one person that lives in the inner courtyard, if there's only one person who lives in the inner courtyard, he does not need to make for himself an Eruv Echatzeros. He is perfectly is permitted to carry from his home into the courtyard without any restriction. There's no one else that's problematic from his point of view. But he has a right of trespass into the outer courtyard, and he has not joined with the outer courtyard. So does his right of access, trespass, through the outer courtyard ruin it for the outer courtyard? And here he has not made for himself an Eruv Echatzeros. So the answer is, it's fine. You know, the whole purpose of the Eruv is in order that it should be mutter. It's not that the Eruv is the solution. The solution is that it's permitted to carry in the inner courtyard. So if you only have one person living in the inner courtyard, that's the best. That's the ideal situation. So that's really what. So he's really doing now in the Mechaber, because he really wants to lead into the next halacha. But this would have been a very good thing to really to start with in the very beginning. There's only one person in the courtyard, and there's a group in the outer courtyard. The person in the courtyard does not need to do anything, and he will not be a problem for the outer courtyard, because in his domain, it's regel hamuteres b'mekoyma. And that's what it says in Halacha Dalet, im yochidar bapnimis. If a single individual is living in the inner courtyard, the yochid b'chitzayna, and there's a single person living in the outer courtyard, or there are two people living in the inner courtyard, but they have joined together. The individual in the inner courtyard is not going to be a problem to the people on the outside, because it's regel hamuteres b'mekoima. If you look in Yotes in the Mishnah Berurah, Rotzo Loimar, Av shaloi ervu yachad, even though there is no eruv, because the eruv is not what allows, what takes away the problem. What takes away the problem is the status. De regel hamuteres bimukoima ein oiseres shaloi bimukoima. Okay, now, the Hagav, who I did Rabim, that he says another concept, another idea which illustrates this exact same concept, a very nice point. Rabim, Shehem Kiyachid, the Ein Tzrichim La'orev, Kiderch Nespola El Simon Shinayin, a family. And this means, let's do the case where, let's say, the inner courtyard, we have a family. We have five families, a total of children and grandchildren and great grandchildren, a total of 100 people in the inner courtyard. But guess what? There's only one person that's paying the bills. The grandfather. The grandfather is supporting every single one who lives in the inner court. The inner courtyard, there are five houses. There are five families. And the families have children and grandchildren, so on and so forth. But no one works. No one works. The only one that works is the grandfather. He supports the whole inner courtyard. And they all come to him to eat. Every single day, the meals are served in his home. So in this situation, we learned way back, what is halacha? Are you required to make an eruvi chatzeres in such a situation? No. The only time you are required to make an eruvi chatzeres in the courtyard is where there are independent residents. I make my own parnasa, you make your parnasa, you eat in your home, I eat in my home. Then we need to join together in order to carry from the home.
Independent residents.
It doesn't matter. That's what we learned before. Even though each one has their own home, they have a lock on the door, and no one would dare come into the other person's house. It's privacy. But if there are two conditions, ideally, number one, they are supported by one person, and they also eat. Let's make things simple. They also eat their meals. There's a dining hall. They all come to the grandfather to eat their meals. Then the grandfather joins them all together, and there's no requirement to make an eruv chatzeros. So let's say we have that situation in the inner courtyard, and then there's the outer courtyard. And the outer courtyard, there are independent residents, and they have joined together in eruv chatzeros. But who's parading through their outer courtyard? 50 people. Comes time to go to davening, we have 100 people parading through from the inner courtyard to the outer courtyard into the Rishus HaRabim. Do those 100 people who parade through the outer courtyard ruin it for the outer courtyard? So and you can't go tell me, well, the inner courtyard made an eruv, like we learned in the Han Simon Bays and Gimel. They didn't make an eruv, and they didn't make an eruv here. They didn't join together in an eruv the people in the inner courtyard. The answer is it doesn't matter. The eruv is not what takes away the problem. What takes away the problem is the status. As long as the status of the inner courtyard is regel hamuteres b'mekayma. How do you achieve such a status? Well, normally the way it's achieved is through an eruv chatzeros. But there are other ways to achieve this status. Either there's only one person living in the inner courtyard, or if there's a family, a group of people living in the inner courtyard, but they've all joined, but they're all dependent on one person, and that one person provides their food, and now they all eat by that one person. So now the status of the inner courtyard is regel hamuteres b'mekoyma, and now it's not going to be a problem when they walk through the outer courtyard. Okay, so that's what it says here in the Haggah. One more time, Hakavod in Rabim Shein Tiyachid, the Ein Tzrichim L'Ar. They don't need to make an eruv. Kedesh, they don't need to make an eruv like this family. They be supported by one person. Kedesh Nespor L'El Simon Shein Ayin. Okay, now we go to the last halacha. This is a new chiddush. This is a very beautiful idea, which culminates everything that we've learned before. Shalosh chatzero zo lefnei mizah. La lamas. Three courtyards. Until now, we've only learned about two courtyards. Inner, outer. And then comes the Rishus HaRam. I discussed yesterday the lamas, the case of the Chazon Ish, where you have the inner and the outer. There's a hefsek, there's a buffer zone of the Carmelis. Okay, let's put that aside. Let's discuss three real courtyards. A, B, C. The only way out to the free world is through C. So if you're living in A, you got to walk through B, walk through C, and then you're free. If you're living in B, you must walk through C in order to get out into the Rosh Hashanah. If you're living in C, you just walk right out into the street. So one-way street. If you're in A, you're closed in, you got to go through B and C. Okay, so we know the halacha. As long as regel hamuteres b'mekoyma, you're in business. But here is different. Because let's look at this situation from the perspective of C. Who is walking through C? A and B. In A, it's mutter. In A, they've joined together in an Eruv. B, they've joined together in their own Eruv. Each one is regel muteres bimakoma. But A and B, A is not allowed to carry into B. B is not allowed to carry backwards into A. A and B now are both walking through C. So as far as C is concerned, there are two groups that are trespassing. There's group A and group B. And group A and group B have not joined together. We've only discussed the case where there's A and B. So when B looks at A, so B says, listen, A, you're okay because you have the status of regel hamuteres b'mukayim, and you're the only one that's coming through us. But in this situation, who's trespassing through C? A and B. So even though it's true A is regel muteres b'mukayim, and B is the status of regel muteres b'mukayim, but A and B together is not regel muteres b'mukayim, because A and B together, A and B are not allowed to go from one to the other. So is it a problem? Is it not a problem? How do we view this situation? Is this a new situation? Along comes the Mechaber. I believe this is the Machlokes in the Gemara.
You're saying it's a problem when they go through C?
Yes.
How?
Because when who's walking through C? A is walking through C, and B is walking through C. Are A and B muteres b'mekoyma together? No. What have we learned so far? Let's build upon the principles that we've learned so far. We learned so far A and B. That's all we've had so far. A makes their own Eruv, and B makes their own Eruv. It's a problem. How can B be allowed to carry, but this trespass, someone is walking through their Rishus, and the whole idea of an Eruv Echatzeres means we're all one big happy family. We're not all one big happy family. A is not allowed to carry into B. So the answer is, it doesn't matter. We're not extremists in this matter. As long as the people that are walking into B are people who among themselves have a status of muteres b'mekoma, we're going to overlook the fact that they have not joined together with B, and their trespass is not going to cause a problem for the ability for the people in B to carry from their homes to the courtyard. That's all fine and good where if you're dealing with just A is walking into B. But here we have constructed a new situation where who's walking into C? Not only A. A is walking into C, and B is walking into C. So even though it's true that A among themselves is called muteres b'mekoma, and B among themselves is muteres b'mekoma, but A and B together are going to trespass through C, and A and B together are not muteres b'mekoma. A may not carry into B, and B may not carry into A. So when we expand the scope of this issue, we're getting into a much more complex situation. We're coming into the Rishus of C is not necessarily in a domain that's muteres b'mekoma. If we were only dealing with A and B, then we can say that an area that's muteres b'mekoma is now walking through our Rishus. Okay, it's a chiddush. We're going to be lenient. We're going to say it's not going to ruin it for B. But when you want to say that A and B together walking into C, A and B together among themselves are not muteres b'mekoma. They can't go carry one to the other. A can carry among themselves. B can carry among themselves. But to go say A and B together can now together walk through my rishus of C, that's much more complex. Who says that in this situation we're going to allow C to continue using the Erev? And indeed, if I'm not mistaken, this is a machlokes in the Gemara. And along comes the Mechaber here, and he paskins lekula. We're lenient. We paskin that it's okay. Since A independently is muteres b'mekoma, and B independently is muteres b'mekoma, and they walk through C, it's okay. We're going to overlook the fact that A and B together cannot go from one to the other. You clear with this? Baruch. Deep thought. It's simple. This is very simple.
I'm trying to get what the Shiloh would be. Do you know what I'm saying?
The Shiloh is, can A carry into B? Answer that question. Can B carry into A? No. So let's look at them as a group. Let's look at A and B as one big group. Is it?
Why do we have to look at them as a group?
Because together they're going to walk through C.
I'm not... A is going to walk. A is walking through C as A.
That's the answer. That's the answer. That's the answer. That's the other way to looking at it. That's the Gemara. That's the answer. But there's a valid point. In fact, there's an opinion of the Gemara that says this way, that it's true A is walking through C as A and B is walking through C as B. But the bottom line is they're both walking through C. So let's look at it as a group of A and B.
AB equals Muteris become O.
No, it's not.
Both of them. I'm saying
no, that's not AB. That's A dash B dash. That's separate.
They're separately, but they're both Muteris become O.
A is Muteris become O. B is Muteris become O. But when you look from C's perspective, what is CC? CC is AB. The two together. The two together are trespassing through C. The two together is not Muteris b'mekoyma. That's why it's a difficult situation. It's a tough call. It's a tough call here. That's the chiddush. That is a very big chiddush of the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, let's research. Sholosh chatzeros, zo lifnim yizo, v'yochel b'cholachas, and yochel b'cholachas, af b'yim no shram dorsim, even though the rabbim are dorsim b'chitzona, and even even though when we combine A and B together, so it's AB, it's now a rabbim, AB together is a majority. So you would think that they should together, they're not no longer called together Muteres b'mekoimam. No, we're going to be lenient. Einam oisrim. We are not.
Can A carry into B?
No. Yes. Can A carry? Absolutely not. Can I carry? Absolutely not.
Neither can B go into B.
Because each one made an error only among themselves. Each one among themselves can carry in their own private own courtyard. The question is, but they're trespassing to the next. So if you're trespassing, so I'm ruining it for the one that's outside of me. So we learned that it's only if you only one rishos, it's okay. But here, when we're going to combine two together, we have this problem. So let's see inside again. So einam oisrim shekol achas muteris v'mekoyma is a very big chiddush. We don't look at them as AB. We look at it as A dash B. Like what you say. And therefore, as far as C is concerned, I have two different rishios. Each one independently is muteris from mekoyma. It's not going to cause a problem for me. V'im hayu, but of course it goes without saying. This is simple. V'im hayu shnayim v'pnimis. Let's say in the pnimis there were two. V'loy ervu. That's if let's say all the way in A. Let's go back to A. And in A we have two residents, and the two residents have not joined together. So courtyard A, the innermost courtyard, is oiseres b'mekoyma. Harei heim oisrim ala yechidim shebem tzois v'shebachitzayna. So it goes without saying. They ruin it for B and C. Because that's oiseres b'mekoyma, that trespasses through an outer courtyard. That's the classic halacha. It's going to ruin it. Zeha klal, that's the bottom, what's the rule? Regel ho asura b'mekoyma, oiseres shaloi b'mekoyma, b'regel hamuteres, a regel that's muteres, ein oiseres shaloi b'mekoyma. This principle, it's unfortunate that we've used this principle many times in the past. We only finally get to it now, later on. That's the nature of halacha, that's the nature of everything in a halacha in life, is that you don't understand things unless you know what's coming later on. You have to put all the pieces of the puzzle together to understand the principle. But these are the principles of the halach of regel hoseres v'mekoyim. Okay, now we go to Shemayin Tess. Hey, this also goes back to what we learned in the past. We learned in the past the sugya of a beis shar. Okay, it's a small simon. What is a beis shar? Beis shar is a gatehouse. Is an area that is in front of a home. We learned that you're not allowed to put a Eruvi Chatzeros in the Beis Shar. The Eruv must be put in the courtyard or one of the homes. You have a courtyard. And outside the courtyard, there's a watchman. There's a little hut on the outside of the courtyard, and there's a person that sits there 24/7 with a little television, and he keeps busy the whole day. You cannot put the Eruv in that Beis Shar. The Eruv must be put in a home or in a courtyard. Now, here is the situation. We have a new situation. We have two courtyards. And in between the two courtyards, there are three homes. Okay, so very funny situation. Okay, let's say in courtyard A, there are 10 batim. In courtyard B, there are 10 batim. 10 residents, total of 20 residents. And they're not connected. And the way they're connected is through three batim, three separate individual homes. The question is, these two courtyards, 20 people there, 20 people here, they want to join together as one big happy family, so that they can carry freely from one courtyard to the other courtyard, go in between, back and forth. Where should they put the Erev?
How are the courtyards set up again? The bottom or the middle? I mean, what's
the bottom are in the middle. They're all connected. There are connecting doors from one to the next. Yeah. Courtyard A on the left. Courtyard B on the right. In courtyard A there are 10 residents. In courtyard B there are 10 residents. And all the residents open up into a central courtyard. The courtyard has four walls. And there's a door that goes from the courtyard to a bais, to someone's home. And then on the other end, the home has another exit, opens up directly into someone else's home. And that middle home opens up directly into someone else's home. And that home opens up into the courtyard on the right.
Which has four walls. So the only way to get from courtyard A to
Correct.
Courtyard B is to go through three independent homes.
It could be there are other ways to go, but that's not our issue. It could be there are other ways to go. Could be that, but let's assume now that
the homes are connected.
They're all connected. You can go from the courtyard through home A to home B to home C into the next courtyard.
No alleyways.
Let's assume now no alleyways. The case can be constructed with alleyway in addition to alleyways. There are variations of the case, but let's make it very simple. The only way you can get—you can climb the walls, you can do strange things—but the only way you can normally get from the courtyard on the right to the courtyard on the left is by walking through three private homes.
And they're all connected. What they call row houses.
Row house. Well, we're talking about the railroad?
No, row house.
Row houses?
They're all connected.
All connected. There are doors in between one to the
attached.
Only attached. No alleyways, nothing in the street. That's the only way you can get from courtyard on the right, the courtyard on the left, is by walking through the three homes.
And the three homes are occupied?
Yes, they're occupied.
And they allow people to walk through on a daily
basis? As strange as it seems, yes.
What?
Third world country. It's not exactly flappish. It's not flappish, Lawrence. Different standards. Different parts of the world, there are different standards. Open house, literally.
Yeah.
So they walk through now it's Shabbos, and the people in the courtyard on the left want to take a very interesting sefer, a chiddush in the sefer. You want to show the sefer to your friend on the courtyard on the right. How am I going to get there? I'm going to have to walk through home 1, 2, and 3. Am I allowed to carry from the courtyard on the left to the courtyard on the right? The answer is, well, if you make an Eruv Chatzeros, you can carry. If you don't make an Eruv Chatzeros, you can't carry.
What basic shower? Can you carry from one row house to the other?
No, you can't. From one row house, no, unless you make an Eruv Chatzeros, no, you cannot.
The house, how do they, each one has an entrance out. In other words, there were three houses. How do the people get out?
To the street?
Yeah.
Let's assume that there's an exit to the street on the extreme parts of the courtyard. That's the only way out to the street. There's a street all the way on the left.
The person who lives in row house B
has to walk through the courtyard. The person said has to walk through the house either on the left.
They have separate entrances.
No, there's no entrance to the streets. They're all locked in. Now let's review. The only place, the only exit to the street, the case can be constructed, I want to just start with one case, the simplest case possible. The only way to get out into the Rishus HaRabin is either the courtyard on the left or the courtyard on the right.
AOC.
Well, no, the courtyards.
Yeah.
Someone living in the middle house, if he wants to go shopping on Avenue J, the only way he can get out into the street is he has to walk through the house on the left and then go into the courtyard and then go out into the street, or he can go and walk into the house on the right and then go into the courtyard and then go out into the street on the right. There's no way out. You're locked in. If you're in the center house, you have to do a lot of walking over people's heads in order to get out into the streets. That's the situation. Now, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry from one home to another home. Forget about carrying from a home to the courtyard. And we learned that in the very beginning. You're not allowed to carry if you're a two-family house. We learned that chiddush. You need Erev Chatzeres if you're a two-family house, ups and downstairs. You're not allowed to carry from one home to another home unless you make an Eruv Chatzeres. So if these people do nothing whatsoever, no one is allowed to carry, not from the bayis to the courtyard, not from one bayis to another bayis, from B to C, from B to A, A to C. No one's allowed to carry anything. They want to join together. How can they join? They can join together. There are many ways they can join together. There are many options of joining together. We want, the people have all come together. We have 20 people on the left, 20 on the right. We have 3 in the center for a grand total of 23. All these 23 people, they want to join together in one big happy Eruv. One big happy family. They should make an Eruv, and the Eruv should be put somewhere where every single person can freely carry from one extreme to another without any limitation whatsoever. So we're going to say, we're going to bring out a few chidushim in what can be done and what can be done. Shtei chatzeros, u'shloi shabbatim b'neim, there are 3 courtyards and 3 homes between them, psuchim ze lo ze, v'roitzim le'oreif, yachad, they all want to join together. So, chotzer ze bo derech bayis she'etzlo, v'noisein eruvo b'bayis she'boem. So let me just read the words. V'chein ose hashliya umutarim b'shloshtan shekol bayis she'etzel achotzer chashiv loy kibei shar v'ein tzarech litein pas v'em tzoyhu bayis shemlichem v'eiru v'ein tzarech litein pas. Okay, so let me review out some of it and then we'll read it inside again. Normally, we learned many times there are basically two different ways to make the eiru v'chatzeros. Either one person is the host, pick up a box of matzah, and you're the host there. Or everyone has to contribute. Make a collection. Everyone gives a small amount of kazayis, whatever the shear was. I forgot the shear rate. Everyone has to give a small amount. A loaf of bread. How many residents are there in total? We said there are 23. 10 on the left, 10 on the right, 3 in the center. In this situation, you only have to collect 20 loaves of bread. The 3 people in the middle do not have to do anything. 0. And they will be able, and even though they'll do nothing, every single resident here will be able to carry freely from one end to the other. Why? How could that possibly be? How could it possibly be if 3 people do nothing, absolutely nothing, and magic, everything is work? We know everyone has to contribute. So the answer is, let's take a step back. We know that the home, which is the host, where the food is stored, doesn't have to contribute. That's general halacha. If you have a court, you have 20 residents, and everyone is contributing, only 19 have to contribute. Number 20, who's going to, the basket of bread will remain in his kitchen, on his dining room table, he does not have to contribute, allowing his home to serve as the host, where the basket rests, is the ultimate contribution. You don't have to contribute because everyone is where the food is. And I'm here, so I don't have to do anything. So that's easy. We can knock off one guy off the bat. We can knock off another two because there's a rule that a beis shar, a watchman's hut, a home that is on the outside of a courtyard, is automatically tofel to the courtyard. It's automatically bottled to the courtyard. And does not, if the courtyard is mutter, this home automatically is mutter through the rule that this serves as an extension of the court. Even though it's a home, it's a resident, person's living there, but being that it's positioned outside the courtyard, and the only way you can get into the courtyard is by going to this person's home, this home will serve as what is called a base shar, a gateway home. Therefore, if the 10 people on the left put their bread in the basket, and the 10 people on the right put their bread in that same basket, and we put the basket in the center, in the one in the center, we're finished. Because the one in the center, he's the host. He doesn't need to contribute bread at all. The home on the left is the beis shar, is the gateway to the courtyard on the left. And the home on the right is the gateway home to the home, to the courtyard on the right. So by putting the basket with 20 loaves of bread in the center, putting that basket in the center home, it will automatically bring everyone together and there will be no restriction for carrying on this Shabbos whatsoever. Let's read inside. Shtei chatzeros, 2 courtyards, u'shlosh shlosh abotem beinehem, and there are 3 homes between them, psuchim ze lo ze, each one is open to the next, v'roitzim lo'ar v'yacha, they want to join together, chotzer ze Bo derech bayish etzlo. So the courtyard on the left collects 10 loaves of bread, and they pass through the bias number one, she'etzlo, the no sein eruvo, and they put the basket on the table, babayis shebo emsa, in the center. And the one in the center does not have to contribute a loaf of bread because it's in his home. That's where the basket is going to be stored. V'chein osa hashnia. And the 10 people on the right, they collect 10 loaves of bread, and they walk through the gatehouse, which is apartment number C, bais number C, and they walk into the number B, which is the center, and they add their loaves of bread into the basket. Umutarim bishloshtan, and now you're allowed to carry freely in all three homes as well. Shekol bayis she'etzel hechotzer, each one of the homes is right opposite the courtyard. Choshev lo kibeshar, it's called the gateway house. The aim tzarech litein pas vehoem tzoy, in the middle home. Hu bayis shemanichin boy eruv, the middle home is the home where the Erev is being stored, and that's a general principle which we've learned way before. The Ein Tzorech Litein Pas, and the middle home does not need to contribute bread. Now we have one more halacha. Now the halacha is a little bit simpler, but this halacha brings out a beautiful, beautiful chiddush. There are two. In this case, the next case we're about to learn is there are only two homes. There are only two courtyards. The same situation. There are two left and the right, but instead of there being three batim, A, B, and C, there are only going to be two batim. Two batim. Now in this case, it's much worse. In this case, the only way they can really join together is everyone has to contribute. Everyone has to contribute. You need 22 loaves of bread. Well, I shouldn't say you only need 21. How many do we have in total? Let's get the numbers straight. How many do we have in total? We have in total 22. 10 on the left, 10 on the right, and 2 in the center. Total 22. In this case, the one where the air is being stored of never needs to contribute, so we can knock him off, but you will definitely need 21. Now, here is the Lamdish Shaila. Let me just tell you outside the halacha, and then we'll read it very quickly. What would happen if the people on the left, the 10 people on the left, would put their Erev in bias number B, number 2, which means not the one that's directly connected to the courtyard, but to the next bias. And the courtyard on the right will put their Erev not in the house that's connected to their courtyard, but in the next one. Do we say that we have, they're two separate Eruv, they're not joining together? We're dealing with a new situation now. They're not attempting to join together. They want to make separate Eruvim, but they put the Eruv, the one on the left puts the Eruv on the one on the right, and the one on the right puts the Eruv on the one bias on the left. So there's a hefsek, there's a buffer between the location where the Erev is and the courtyard itself.
Now,
they're overlapping Eruvim. So, correct. So, what is the halacha in this case? In this case, the Eruvim are no good. No one is allowed to carry. Now, the reason is that maybe we should do this tomorrow, take a little more time. We know what we'll do. The basic halacha, then we'll go over it tomorrow. Is because we began this sugya. There are three courtyards, right? There are two courtyards. There is home A, B, and C in between the two courtyards. So what do we do in the first halacha? In the first halacha, we have a lamdash chiddush. The three in the center need to do nothing. Just put the bread in the center, and then everyone is happy. Why? Because the center is the home, the bayis where the air is being stored. And the home on the left, the home on the right, are going to serve as the beis shar. And the beis shar doesn't need to give bread. Now there's... So what are we doing? There are three homes. We are considering home on the left a beis shar, a home on the right a beis shar, and the home in the center to be a bayis. But they're really all batim. In Lundis, we're able to view a rishus sometimes for our benefit as a beis shar. That's a very big chiddush. What we're going to show now in the next halacha is, if you want to do that, fine. but you must be consistent. If you want to view one rishus as the beis shar, you must continuously you must be consistent that this area will be viewed as a beis shar. You can't view this as a beis shar relative to one courtyard and a bias relative to another courtyard. Why not? Because you're not allowed to put the Eruv in the Beis Shar. The courtyard on the right is putting their Eruv in the bias on the left. That means we are going to consider the bias on the left to be a bias. If that's where the Eruv is going to be stored, it's a bias. So, but there's a hefsek. If here is my Eruv, and here's my courtyard, what about this bias in between? No problem. That's a Beis Shar. That's a Beis Shar. That doesn't have to contribute. Oh, so the left is a bias, and the right is a Beis Shar. Okay, fine. That's from the perspective of the right. Now let's go look at it from the perspective of my left. Here's the courtyard. We're going to put the Erev and the bias all to the extreme right. Oh, that means we're going to consider this to be a bias, because you're only allowed to put an Erev in a bias. You're not allowed to put an Erev in a Beis Shar. How come there is no Erev in the bias on the left? Oh, that's a Beis Shar. Contradiction, tired to the Sasri. When you look at the courtyard on the left, we consider the first bias to be a Beis Shar and the second to be a bias. When we look at the courtyard on the right, we consider the first one to be a Beis Shar and the next one to be a bias. How can one rishus, four walls, be called a bias for one courtyard and be called a Beis Shar for a different courtyard? Tarti the Sasri. It's exactly what's happening over here. And that's why we cut it, we don't allow this. This we were all out. But in the previous case, there was no contradiction.
No.
In the previous case, it was three.
Yes.
This is the only case. Right. This is the only case. Let's read it. Shtei chatzeros. Two courtyards. Ushnei botim. New case. Two courtyards, left and right. And there are only two botim between the two. V'loyer v'yachad. Each courtyard, new case now. There's a whole different case. Each courtyard wants to make their own separate area. Not like in the previous halacha, where each courtyard wants to join together. They all want to join together. V'loyer v'yachad. Elo kolachas li'atzmo. Uba ben chotzer zeh. From the left. Derech bayis she'etzlo. Ve'niach eruv v'bayis she'etzel ha'sheni. He skips a house. You're living on the left. You walk through the house on the left. You put your Erev on the house on the right. V'cheinosa ha'sheni, the courtyard on the right side. He skips a house. And he puts the Erev in the house all the way to his left. Shagam hu iniach Erev v'bayis ha'somach l'chotz racheres. Lo ikonu Erev. Shekol echod hiniach Erev b'bei shar shel chotzer acheres. Each one has put their Erev in the Beis Shar of the other courtyard. Now, what exactly does that mean? So, read the Mishnah Berurah with the Dershu. What explains it to mean is that we have here Tarte Desasre. We have to know the principles. The principle is you're not allowed to put an Erev in a Beis Shar. The Erev must be put in a bias. A bias that is a Beis Shar does not need to contribute towards the Erev. And it's not a hefsek for the Erev. It's all tuffle to the courtyard. So if you were only making a single Erev, let's take a look at it from that perspective. Let's say the only one who wants to make the Erev is the courtyard on the right. So they all join 10 pieces of bread, they all join together, and they'll put it in, they'll skip the first house, and put it in the second house. Wonderful. Because the courtyard on the right side, they join together. The first house will be viewed in halacha as a Beis Shar, which is not a hefsek and does not need to contribute. And this next house is going to be a bias, which is hosting the Erev, also does not need to contribute. Shalom al Yisrael, fine. The other courtyard, they're not interested in Erev Holtka, they did nothing. Let's do the other way around. Let's say only the courtyard on the left wants to make an Erev Chatzeros. They all take 10 pieces of bread. They skip the first house and they put their bread in the second house. Fine, because the first house will be viewed as the Beis Shar and the second house the host of the Erev. Fine. Because the first other courtyard doesn't care. But now when each one is doing the same thing, there's a conflict. Because the courtyard on the right is treating the house on the left as a bias to store the Erev, and the other home as the Beis Shar. The courtyard on the right is treating the two homes the reverse. Is considering the home all the way to the right to be the bias, and the home left to be the Beis Shar. You can't have it both ways. Tarte de sase. Either the bias is a bias, and you can put the Erev there, and the other one is the Beis Shar. Or if this is the Beis Shar, then you can't put the Erev here. And the other home is going to be the bias, and it's going to be a hefsek for your courtyard. It's tarte de sase. They cancel each other out. And that's what it says here in this halacha.
Doesn't it make them both batim? I mean, now you have two houses. So can't, is there a way that you...
But then if it's two houses, there's a hefsek. If you're going to say it's two houses, so it's not a Beis Shar. So there is a hefsek between where your Erev is located and the courtyard. Where the courtyard makes an Erev, and we put our Erev on the moon. We put it in another city. No good, you have to have access to your Erev. If we're going to consider both of these structures to be bought in, so here's the courtyard, and where's my Erev? Oh, it's in the second house. But I'm not allowed to carry to the first house. How am I going to get my Erev? The Erev must, you must have access to your Erev. There's a hefsek. The bias, if that was called the Beis Shar, that's not called a hefsek. But if I'm considering it to be Beis Shar, my neighbor also must consider it to be Beis Shar. No, they're considering that bias, that area to be a bias. The Haraya, they're storing the bread there. It's a bias. Tied to the sastre. They cancel each other out. It's not going to work.
It's like a different case.
What?
Both Chatzerus put it into the same house.
That's the ultimate. Then that's so powerful, they're all automatically joined together. Automatically. They don't even have to come on, they're automatically joined together.
Someone doing a silly thing, I mean, crossing.
Right. They're crossing over there, they're creating a hefsek. So the hefsek is not a problem, as long as in halacha we view that area to be called a Beis Shar. But if it's a Beis Shar, you're not allowed to store an Erev in a Beis Shar. So for the other courtyard, how dare you put an Erev in what's called the Beis Shar? So each one is ruining it for the other. You got a question?
I'm thinking, to person A,
yeah,
I consider it a bias.
Yeah.
Person B, I consider it a Beis Shar.
That's what it's
Why
teaching us.
We have two independent thinking.
That is what you can have at separate times. At separate times, separate Shabbosos, you can have This Shabbos is a Beis Shar. This Shabbos will be
but simultaneous.
No, Bevas Achas.
At that point,
Bevas Achas. But they're making two separate rooms. If they would want to make one Erev, it would be okay. That would be a different story. That's not what they're trying to accomplish here. Each one is making their own separate Erev. And by making their own, they're not storing it in the same location. If you want to make one Erev among everyone, you must store it in one location, one bias, one table, one basket. They're not doing that. They're putting it in different locations. So there's no one in the world we can consider them to be one big happy family. That's impossible. So there are problems. There's a gap. The gap would be a Beis Shar, would be a Beis Shar or a bias. How do we deal with that situation? That is what we were learning over here, is that it would work as long as you do it one at a time. But when it's going to be done simultaneously, then it's a conflict. Okay, we'll stop here.